Good morning. As we prepare to worship Almighty God this morning, let us join together in our hymn of preparation. Good morning and welcome to Main Street United Methodist Church. This soggy Sunday morning, this beautiful soggy Sunday morning, we have certainly needed this rain, and it is certainly appreciated. We want to welcome all of you, and a special welcome go out to all of those that are visiting with us this morning. We hope that you feel welcome here at Main Street and that you will come back to visit us often. If you are a visitor looking for a church home, we hope that you'll consider Main Street. And if you'll give us your address and phone number as the attendance pads are passed down the pew, that will allow us to have someone contact you and let you know what's going on in the life of the church. So if you would now please pass those attendance pads down, and visitors and members alike, please register your attendance. A couple of announcements this morning. An 8-week Bible study on the book of Romans will begin on June the 17th. That's Sunday afternoon, June the 17th at 5 o'clock p.m. Each session will last approximately an hour and a half, and the study will be led by Glenn Williams and Kit Atkins. So if you would like to participate in that, if you would contact the church office, the cost of the book is $9, and they'll need to know how many of those to order. So that's a 8-week Bible study on the book of Romans beginning June 17th. Also, as you may have read in your newsletters, the Pastor's Relief Fund here at Main Street, which is used to help those in need in our community, is depleted. So if you would like to make a contribution to that, please do so by sending a check to the church office, and that would be greatly appreciated also. This Tuesday, June the 5th, will be the first of our family evenings together. We will have a magician here Tuesday evening, Fish the Magish. Say that three times, Fish the Magish. We will have a snack meal at 6 o'clock, and then the program will begin at 6:30, so please contact the church office and make reservations for that snack meal. That's Tuesday. Meal at 6 o'clock and the program at 6:30. Also, on Wednesday, June the 6th at 7 o'clock, we will have another training session for our Safe Sanctuaries policy. Anyone that will be working with youth or children, whether it be volunteering, teaching, working as a chaperone on some of the trips, will be required to go through this training. So the next training will be this Wednesday, June the 6th at 7 o'clock in the Fellowship Hall. Also, parents are reminded that if your child will be attending either Vacation Bible School or going on the trip to Greenville later here in the month of June, you will have to complete a medical form on that child before they will be able to participate in either one of those programs. Those forms are available just outside the church office, so pick one of those up and get that completed on your child, so that they will be able to participate in those programs. Now let us prepare our hearts for worship.
Thank you. O God, your name is majestic in all the earth. Your glory is chanted above the heavens. You have crowned your people with glory and honor. We give you all praise in response to your grace. Let us worship God.
Please be seated. And I ask you to join me in the invocation found in your bulletins. O wisdom, you have built your house and set your table. You have invited us into your presence, saying, "Come, eat of my bread and drink of my wine. Know me and live and walk in the way of insight." So we gather in your dwelling place, Spirit. Guide us, we pray, into truth. Instruct us in righteousness and justice and equity, helping us to understand your proverbs and to unravel your riddles. We seek you diligently. Let us find you as you have promised. Amen. I'd like to briefly invite up Debbie Tharp for presentation. And she may invite some others with her. And some youth who are here today. Yes. Well, there's a microphone right there. Push the bottom for about 1 second. It comes on and then works. And any youth who are here today, please come up.
Okay. Come on, youth. Let's go.
We've got a few here. There.
Thank you. I might also like to have Jack come up here, please. Jack, when you first accepted the job here at Main Street, we thought that it was an answer to a prayer. And now, after 3 years, we know it was an answer to a prayer. On behalf of the congregation and the youth who have received so much from you, we would like you to take this with you on your journey. We feel truly blessed that God has shared you with us in his plan. And we know he's not finished with you yet. So as you and Carrie go on to St. Louis, we wish you all the very, very best in all you do. And we love you and we will miss you a lot. And we know that you'll do well in whatever you do. So best of luck to you.
I really appreciate this, both Carrie and I. We just like to know that you guys are thinking about us and praying for us, especially as I take summer Greek. We'll need prayers then, especially, and Carrie's taking class this summer as well. But we just thank you for making us feel at home, me over these last 3 years and Carrie over this last year. This was the first church that I've really been involved with and really been heavily involved in my life. So it's been a great experience. Thank you, guys. You've been a blessing to me, and I can only hope that I've been a blessing to you as well, and hopefully we can stay in touch. Thank you.
As we approach our community concerns and ready ourselves for prayer, I want to lift up just a few items. Our annual conference, our state denominational meeting, meets in Florence today. I will be leaving early before the final hymn. I've got to be there in Florence, dressed with a robe on, for ordination practice at 3 o'clock, and that's going to be pushing it. So I'm not going to stay for the benediction. It's not that I'm angry with the choir. Not that I don't have reasons to be angry with the choir, but no. No, I will be leaving early. For that annual conference, please be in prayer for the deliberations, for the decisions, the votes, and also for Riley Watson as she struggles and recovers from a back injury, and for Joanne Panasiewicz at the loss of her husband Fred on the 27th. Other concerns that we have, we ask you to lift up before God in our time of silent prayer. Let us pray. Holy Father, living Lord, guiding Spirit, with a generous hand you have sown in our hearts the seed of truth and grace. May we welcome it with humble confidence and cultivate it with gospel patience, knowing well that love, justice, and peace will increase in the world as your word bears fruit in our lives. We ask this through our Lord Jesus Christ, who reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever. We pray for all who govern. Teach them that you are the ruler of all and that they are only your instruments and temporary at that. Grant them wisdom for difficult decisions, a sharp eye for what is essential, and courage to obey your commandment through Christ our Lord. All knowledge is yours, God, and you know us better than we know ourselves. If we lose faith in ourselves as your children, forgive and restore us. If we lose faith in your pervasive goodness and mercy, forgive and restore us. If we lose faith in the word that your grace overcompasses all sin, forgive and restore us. All knowledge is yours, God, and all love comes from you in your own wise way, and at your time transform us into the people you would have us be. We pray for one another, for the fears and the hopes, and for the needs and the longings of those beside us, for they are very much like our own. Lord, in your love, hear our prayers. In the widening circle, Lord, we pray for your church in all the world. Keep it loyal to your leadership and bold in your service. Lord, in your love, do hear our prayers. We pray for those in our congregation and community who have special needs, and for the sick and the sorrowful and troubled people everywhere. Lord, in your love, hear our prayers. We pray for justice and peace at home and abroad, for people in turmoil or despair. Lord, in your love, hear our prayers. We pray for homes and families, for parents and children, for our young people and single adults. To your keeping, we entrust them to you. Lord, in your love, hear our prayers. Lord, in your love, do hear our prayers, both spoken and unspoken. Grant to us and all whom you love the joy of your peace. We lift before you now our silent prayers, knowing that you hear. Lord, in your love, hear our prayers. We pray as Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. I want to invite our children down for children's time. Angie Baker has their attention today.
Good morning, everyone. Oh, we still got some people coming down. Y'all have any money I'll put in the collection plate? Okay. Well, this morning I want to talk to y'all about something special that's going to happen here at Main Street Church in 2 weeks. And that is, does anybody have an idea? Julia? Bible school, vacation Bible school, and I'm getting excited. And here's a little friend, and his name is Skyler. He's got laryngitis right now, so he can't talk. But he will. He said he's going to talk to y'all in 2 weeks. And he wants every one of y'all to be here. And he has got goggles on. Have y'all noticed that? Because he's going to lift off into his space. And he wants us to lift off and reach new heights with God that we'll learn every day. And you know when Bible school is? The dates are June the 18th through the 22nd. So make sure that you have your parents sign you up, your forms, and your health forms, and turn them into Miss Kathy Kelly at her office, or to me, Miss Angie, or to Miss Sarah Hartung. Are y'all getting excited? You ready? Everybody's going to lift off with Skyler? He's ready. All right, y'all, we're going to say a little prayer. Dear Lord, help us all come back together for Vacation Bible School. To learn about the women and the men in the Bible. Amen.
As we continue our worship through the giving of our offerings, our tithes, our pledges, our special gifts, I just had a thought I wanted to share, and that is that the Scripture does say that God loves a cheerful giver, but also giving that is sacrificial, that costs you, is encouraged. And that's one of those things that in our minds seems a little contradictory, to be cheerful about giving sacrificially. But if the cause is good, if the cause is just, if the cause is godly, perhaps we can even feel good and be a cheerful giver and be sacrificial in our giving at the same time. We have the July payment coming up, a large balloon payment for the renovation and for the new building. I want to keep that before you. Money is coming in. But as the summer comes and attendance dwindles, please be mindful. If you had intended to give some extra this year, especially for that July payment, now would be the time. Now in the weeks to come would be the time. Let us worship through our giving. Creator God, the earth is yours and the fullness thereof. We thank you for entrusting unto us enough resources to meet our needs and for every good cause. We pray your blessings upon these tithes, these gifts that we have returned to your church. Bless them to continue the ministry of your Son, Jesus Christ, and to build your kingdom. Amen. Our gospel lesson this morning comes from the Gospel of John, the 16th chapter, verses 12 through 15. Hear now God's word. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all the truth, for He will not speak on His own, but will speak whatever He hears, and He will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify Me, because He will take what is Mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is Mine. For this reason I said that He will take what is Mine and declare it to you. The Word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Let us pray. Holy Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of every heart be acceptable unto You, our Rock and our Redeemer. Amen. My title is God's Determination to be Known. It is a Trinity Sunday sermon, but I'm trying to approach it in a different way, and I hope a meaningful way that will touch us and help us understand the ways that God has reached out, sometimes successfully and sometimes not, to touch us, to change us, to embrace us. I saw an old friend yesterday from college, and he was worried about his son, who is a rising senior in high school, and the boy just doesn't have very many friends, few connections, least of all with his father. If he gets sent to his room, and he still does, he doesn't care. Why should he? He's got a TV in there. He's got a computer connected to the internet in there. He could happily stay in his room all week long. It's not punishment. He's got few real people in his life. And that little side issue made me think, you know, technology was supposed to save us. Technology was supposed to free us so that we could see each other more and visit friends and family more and have more free time and get more things done so that we could be with each other more. Instead, technology has become a substitute for intimacy, a substitute for relationship. We have imitation intimacy on so many levels. I don't believe there are any true relationships shared by email. No matter how many emoticons you use, if you don't use emoticons, ask your children, grandchildren, they'll tell you. Little smiley faces, winks, nods, such as that. It's just not the same. Relationship happens one-on-one. We were made to relate to God and to each other. And all the shiny things that get between us are largely a waste of time. You know, this is graduation season, and it reminds me, I remember the very last night in Ship Dorm before graduating from Wofford College. Everybody there had their rooms packed up. Every room was exactly the same with the same furniture, no posters on the wall. It was just empty rooms and boxes. All our distinctiveness was gone. And on that night, God worked a strange thing. Many of the guys in Ship Dorm were nothing more than passing acquaintances. We had different majors, we had different social lives, different goals. We never really spoke, not really. But that night, just sitting around in our packed up rooms, waiting for graduation the next day, when we knew that we would never see each other again, or probably not, we sat up all night and we talked. And guess what we talked about? God, faith, doubt, fears, and the future. Rid of all the fluffy stuff and the shiny stuff that distinguished us from each other and fraternity and other dividing lines, we talked about what really concerned us. God, faith, fear, doubt, and our future. Surrounded by boxes, we spoke about the deep sense of how there must be something more. There has to be. How we had all felt something more just beneath the surface calling us to be to become something more than we are. More than jobs, more than marriages, more than bills and homes and cars and stuff. It made the previous 4 years seem like a waste, because there were these same people, but in this moment, this sacred moment, close and sharing, relationship happened. At the very last possible moment, we related as humans with spiritual, God-given hunger. Now, switching gears from the serious to the maybe ridiculous, I want to share a groaner with you. It's a joke that you don't so much laugh as groan, but it makes a point, I think. Susie and Joe met at a party, and it was love at first sight. They talked and they laughed all through the night. And for the next year, Susie and Joe went everywhere together. They went to the movies, they went to the parks and the museums and to the restaurants and all the places that men will go when they're dating, but not after they're married. The night before he got a new job, an out-of-town job, Joe asked Susie finally, "Will you marry me?" Susie said, "No, I am not ready to get married. Joe, I'm not ready to get married." And Joe was crushed, but he didn't give up. He took the job. He moved, but he wrote Susie every single day. Every day he wrote a letter saying, "I love you, marry me." And every day the mailman delivered Joe's letters to Susie. And after a while, the mailman caught on and he smiled and said, "Another letter from your boyfriend." Joe sent Susie a love letter every day for 2 years, over 700 letters in all. And finally, Susie said, "Okay, now I am ready to get married." And so she did, to the mailman. The personal touch, it's the personal touch that matters, that makes real relationship possible. And yet, there's a risk, and I know it, in knowing and being known by our struggles and doubts and fears, so we hold back, even in church. I've been here 3 years now, and just now, people are starting to share some parts of themselves with me that they never would have shared in the beginning because they weren't sure they could trust me. And I've had older pastors say, "Wait till you're there 7 or 8 years, you'll find out things you didn't want to know." We don't easily share ourselves. It makes me sad, though, to come to church for years and even decades and still not understand that we were made, created to be in relationship, not with computers and careers and cars and money. We were made to know and to be known by the Creator God and by each other. Christian faith is about relationship, as scary as that is. Relationship with God and with others and with your true self. The trick is, and this is a bold statement, but I believe it is true, the trick is you do not know who you are until you know the God in whose image you were made. It is a bold statement, but I believe it. You really do not know who you are until you know the God in whose image you were made. And you cannot know how to relate to others until you know how much God loves and accepts you. To love and forgive, you must first understand yourself as just another sinner, falling so short of the glory of God that was meant to shine through you. The acceptance of God, who forgives sins, the acceptance of yourself as another sinner, makes forgiveness and makes relationship possible. Anything less is just posing and playing a part. Real relationship requires self-knowledge, knowledge of God's acceptance of you and of others. Without God, you have a view that's current in our world today. Without God, we are just accidents of a random universe that created itself and spat us up out of the dust and dirt to consume and fight and claw our way to the top, where we then die and turn back into dust. Without God, the story begins and ends with dirt. No relationship, no purpose, no hope.
The world we live in today increasingly insists that a world without God is just the way it is. Grab all you can. There's nothing else. But still, God has not given up. God relates, God calls, God speaks to us in the stillness of the night. God bursts in and speaks to us, connects us, forgives us, and melts our cold hearts into things of flesh and feeling. Even if we thought we would never feel again. There are times when God gives us not hearts of stone, as the Scripture says, but hearts of flesh and warmth, where we feel again, yearn for God, and yearn to be connected to others. From the Garden of Eden story to the burning bush, and Moses to Passover to the parting of the sea, and Jacob's ladder of the dream, the ladder that went from heaven to earth, and the manna that fell from heaven to feed the children of Israel in the wilderness, and the prophets and the angels who brought words of encouragement and words of warning and words of promise, and God also making covenants and promises for the good of humanity. All of this, it seems to show that even though the Bible paints humanity as stubborn and willful and resistant, the same Bible paints God as determined to be in relationship with His creatures, with you and with me. The relationship is on God's terms, but the terms aren't so difficult to understand. Ten Commandments would be the short version. Even shorter, love God completely and love your neighbor as you love yourself. But even though these simple categories are easy to understand, they seem impossible to keep. We can understand them. We might even believe that they are directly the Word of God. Love God and love neighbor as we love ourselves. Well, we cannot seem to live this out. And so we needed a Savior. And Hebrews tells us what God has done. Hebrews 1. In many and various ways, God spoke of old to our fathers by the prophets, but in these last days He has spoken to us by a Son, whom He appointed the heir of all things, through whom He also created the world. He reflects the glory of God and bears the very stamp of His nature, upholding the universe by His word of power. When He had made purification for our sins, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. The work of God in Christ is God's offer. Our trust in that offer justifies us, draws us into relationship with the living God. In Romans 5, Paul says, therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand, and we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. And most importantly, verse 5, God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. That means we didn't have enough love without God's Holy Spirit in there. We had an emptiness in our hearts that wasn't able to really love as God has commanded us to love. That's why we couldn't keep the commandments. But now God's love through our faith has poured His love through the Holy Spirit into our hearts. You know, a holy God with holy standards, none of us can live up to those. God could have wiped His hands of this whole creation as a failed experiment, but instead God was determined to be in relationship with us and took the initiative at every turn. You have been reconciled, brought back together. With God, you've been reconciled through Jesus Christ. Accept it and accept the relationship God offers. And the offer comes with forgiveness and grace and the power to love. God's power to love being poured into your heart through the Holy Spirit. Can you love as well as you wish to? Can you forgive and move on? Do you even want to? If you do, then accept your acceptance in Jesus Christ and claim the promise of His love poured into your heart. The ability to forgive because you are forgiven. The ability to love because you will know then that you are loved. Accept what God has offered, forgiveness complete and love complete and an embrace that begins now but will not be completed until that day we see God face to face in heaven. Yes, we can see the Holy God face to face, not by our merits. Imagine the pain and suffering of those who try and try and still try to earn God's grace, not understanding that what God has done in Jesus Christ is a gift. Through God, working in our spirits, we can be reconciled to each other, but we're not. The problem is, the reality is, we're not. We are not reconciled to each other. There is still jealousy, there is still hurt, there is still anger and old bitterness left over, even in the hearts of those who are being saved. Why is this? Why the waste of a life that God wants to be good? Accept your acceptance. Accept the love God is putting there through the Holy Spirit and use it to love as you have never loved before. I said in the 828 I wouldn't make y'all do this because it seems undignified in here, but let's try it. If you feel so inclined, repeat after me. I am worth something.
I am forgiven.
I can forgive others.
I am loved.
I can now love myself.
I can now love those who mean me harm.
Thank you. I can boast about how much love God has shoved into my once dead heart. If I'm going to brag, I can brag about how I've been able to forgive the same people I once daydreamed hurt and pain for. I can do all this because of what God in Jesus Christ did for me and because of God's Holy Spirit growing influence in my heart. This is Trinity Sunday, and this is how much God loves you, Father, Son, and Spirit. Let us celebrate the God who knows us and wants to be known through us. Let us celebrate by keeping the feast. Please turn to page 12. Christ our Lord invites to His table all who love Him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved You with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done Your will. We have broken Your law. We have rebelled against Your love. We have not loved our neighbors. And we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. Let us now pass the peace. And Jack and Jack. Debbie, if you'll come up here.
Join me at the great thanksgiving, please. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
Lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died, Christ is risen, and Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine, and make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. Was broken for you. The body of Christ was broken for you. The blood of Christ was shed for you. Okay. The blood of Christ was shed for you. You serve. As most of the congregation knows, we alternate, and this will be a Sunday in which the altar rail is fully extended, and we do invite you to come forward and to kneel and to commune in the older, more traditional way with the small cups and with the bit of bread and to pray as you kneel. So one kneeling at a time, beginning with the choir, we are inviting you forward.
Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall not hunger, and he who comes to me shall not thirst." Arise and go in peace, and may the bread of heaven nourish your soul unto everlasting life. Amen. Jesus said, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. Arise and go in peace, and in his service may you find perfect freedom. Amen. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, will have the light of life. Arise and go in peace, and may the light of the world shine on your pathway and in your heart forever. Amen. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Arise and go in peace, and may you ever walk in the way of life and truth. Amen. Jesus said, I am the vine and you are the branches. By this my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. Arise and go in peace, and may the glory of your life be the fruits of the Spirit. Amen. Said, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Arise and go in peace, and may your abundant life in Christ overflow in deeds of love and service. Amen. Jesus said, you did not choose me, but I chose and appointed you that you should go forth and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide. Arise. Arise and go in peace, and by your fruits may all men know that you're disciples of our Lord. Amen. Jesus said, "You are the light of the world. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." Arise and go in peace, and may the true light shine into your mind with the knowledge of the love of God and of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also. So there shall be one flock and one shepherd." Arise and go in peace, and may the voice of the good shepherd be your comfort in sorrow and your guide in happiness. Amen.
Others who need to be served.
Jesus said, "I have many things to say to you, but you cannot hear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all truth." Go in peace, and may the peace of the Spirit and truth be your companion and your guide forever. Amen. Eternal God, we give you thanks for this holy mystery in which you have given yourself to us. Grant that we may grow into the world in the strength of your Spirit and give ourselves for others. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.